23, the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of the Lord, let us pray. Lord God, bless this time in your word. Open our hearts and minds to you and to your will and to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May he be renewed in us, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, timing is everything. How often have we heard that? And I heard about the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds flying over this past Tuesday from Philadelphia and down to Newark. And Christiana and I tried to keep that on my schedule and order my day so that I could be a part of seeing that great event, that flyover, Philly and the area. And so I had an idea of when they were going to be passing by Newark in around 2 o'clock or so. And so I was getting myself together, and 2 o'clock showed up before I realized it, and I was trying to get out the door to head up to Newark to get to the office. And then I forgot, oh, I got to have my mask. So then I had to go back and get my mask, get that on. It's all part of the routine, of course. And boy, I forget this. I'm not going to be able to see them. Well, I was driving up a little street on the outside of town here, heading on my way, and happened to look up. And there they were. And the gentleman down the street confirmed, yes, there were 7 of them flying over and flying due south to the D.C., Baltimore area, right over Middletown. And in God's timing, I got to see them and enjoy that great experience, part of this community and their contribution to our time like this. But timing, yeah, is everything. And the Lord's timing is always perfect, isn't it? It's always perfect. And that's why we proclaim him as the good shepherd. It's why we can rest in him. And it's why King David declared in this opening chord, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. Do you believe it? Do you look at your life in that sense, that hope, with that perspective? Or we might put it this way, as we see in other Psalms, the Lord is my portion. I can rest content in him. Well, we've seen how this shepherd Psalm, Psalm 23, written by one who was a shepherd himself, is the most beloved of all Psalms, of all passages that you can name in the Bible. And if you look at verse 1, this psalm is really all about contentment, the contentment of resting in the Lord, whatever the circumstances. And so we need to be reminded of these themes at such a time as this. But as we face the challenges, the life lessons that we go through from day to day and from strength to strength, to learn contentment. Even Paul himself had to learn contentment, as he says there in Philippians chapter 4. I have learned the lesson of being content in any and all circumstances. Even the great apostle Paul had to learn contentment. And later, he comes to the conclusion that godliness, our relationship with God, with contentment, is of great gain. He says in 1 Timothy 6:6-8, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. And so this verse really, this time is really bringing us back to the truth, the seed, the nub of this verse. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. And we need to pray for many that are even struggling with that at this time and how we can support them. But certainly God is giving us that time to do exactly that, to seek his face, to draw near to him, to pray to him. And the reason that the apostle arrives at this conclusion, godliness with contentment is of great gain, is what the writer of Hebrews assures us when he says, be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have everything that I need. I can rest content in him as he guides me into the paths of righteousness and besides green pastures, and as he restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We've been trying to answer the question, where is your God now? We've been doing so on the basis of the most famous passage in the Bible, a passage that brings tremendous contentment as we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, as we follow his lead, as we listen to his voice. And a good sign that you have experienced and you are experiencing the Lord's restoring grace in your life is that you are listening to his voice. You're listening for his voice. Hearing his word is one way that we listen to the voice of God for our lives. And then we're living it. We're following in the paths of righteousness, not simply because of the blessing it brings to us, but for his name's sake. I was reading a book on anger this week by Dave Pollison. The title of the book is Good and Angry. That's an ironic title if there ever was one. And in the middle of that book, he says he used Psalm 23 as a key to overcoming and addressing anger in our lives, wrestling with anger. And he gives this great encouragement insight about what it means to walk in the paths of righteousness. And that is that walking in a path where everything is being made right. That's what David is getting at. To walk in the paths of righteousness for God's name's sake is to walk in a path where everything wrong, is being made right. And that verse from Proverbs says the same thing, doesn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That's what God is doing in our life. That's the exciting thing, where we're walking in a path where everything wrong is being made right by the Good Shepherd, by our Heavenly Father. And he's doing it for his name's sake. That's the focus we ought to have in our lives. Not on ourselves, all the efforts we put into it, but on God. And by his very nature, who he is. He's transforming us. He's making all things new. He's leading us into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And the wonderful thing is that as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is not only leading us as a shepherd, but he's right there with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, Not because you're 1,000 yards out in front of me and in front of the flock, but because you are with me, right beside me, especially in the darkest hour when I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death. That's why we can rejoice in our suffering, because we know especially that God is with us in such a time as this, the valley of the shadow of death. What a rich and descriptive picture of these times that we know so well, that we face in so many ways. It's really a description of all sorts of scenarios in our lives that we face in life, whether it's death itself, or threats from others, or sickness, or just trying times that come upon us, losing a job, paying the bills, disappointments of life, family strife, whatever form it can take. The valley of the shadow of death is something we all walk through and we all experience. And this phrase, this description covers it all. And what we've been faced with right now, the valley of the shadow of death. Death, David makes very clear, is real. David knew death well, and as a warrior of the Lord, a man of war, death has been described as the last enemy. Death is separation. And yet at the same time, we see here how David describes it as the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death. It's a shadow. What can a shadow do to us? It gets dark. It gets scary. But what can a shadow really do? It's only a shadow. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is with me. He goes before me, as He leads me into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, but He also is with me, right there beside me. He will never leave me or forsake me. And the question is, are you and I following His lead, listening to His voice? And this is a good indication that you're listening to His voice, that you're following in obedience in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And really, this is a choice, a decision of faith that we need to make every day, right? Jesus says, those who would follow me must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. It is the choice, the decision of faith. It's based on our confidence in the Good Shepherd and who He is, and that He can be trusted. He can be trusted because He has gone before us, He is with us, and David starts right off by declaring Him to be the Lord, who is my shepherd, none other than the great I Am, the one who made Himself known to Moses, and the one who made Himself known to the people of God when He brought them out of slavery in Egypt and made His covenant with them. I Am that I Am, the Lord. That is the Lord who is my shepherd. And this great I Am, He is the one who has taken on the lowliest of tasks to deliver us and to become our shepherd and to deliver us from our wandering ways and from the evil that we so easily get ourselves into. And what is most amazing of all is not only that He leads us, but that He delivers us, that He is there to rescue us in the first place. That's what shepherds do. That's what they use, those rods and those staffs for. So He rescues us as the shepherd has become the sheep. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And so we can hear His voice and we can be assured, my sheep hear my voice and they follow my lead, as the good shepherd has laid down his life for the sheep. Well, one of the great blessings of the 23rd Psalm, the shepherd psalm, one of the reasons that it is so beloved and so precious to us is that time and again, David reminds us of how this Lord, our Lord, would look on us and care about us so tenderly and so personally, so that as you look at the phrases of this psalm, there's no less than 17 personal pronouns in just 6 brief verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He truly knows me. He truly knows us, each by name. He totally knows the evil and the disaster that we've brought ourselves into. And He's willingly endured that disaster in our place. So here's the ultimate answer to the question of evil. Where is your God now? He's right there with us. He's beside us to guide us. He has gone before us as He came to lay down His life for His sheep. And not only to lay it down, but to take it up again. Now, just a few weeks ago, we celebrated the season of resurrection, which is the season of hope. And every Lord's Day is a resurrection Sunday as we remember that our Savior, our Lord, is a living God. He's alive. And so this season of hope and resurrection applies to your life and to my life now. It is a life of total restoration as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We have no reason to fear. Well, it's just at this point that the shepherd's psalm shifts gears from this pastoral scene of the shepherd guarding and guiding the sheep to a palace scene, from a pastoral scene to a palace scene. That's why this psalm has been called the Psalm of the Shepherd King. Now he is not just a shepherd, but he has gathered us into nothing less than his palace. Not a barn, but his glorious palace of his presence. So now he is hosting us at a feast as our shepherd king. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. What a picture. What a hope. What we're really looking forward to as he spreads a feast before me in the presence of my enemies. Again, what a poignant description. The reality of our lives now and the richness of the challenges as we grow in our Christian faith, as we walk by faith and not by sight. It's not even said that timing is everything, but that life is a feast, isn't it? Life is a feast as you follow God's lead, as you sit at God's table by faith. Life is a feast if we only keep that focus on all the blessings that come to us from the Lord, but how easily we're distracted, and especially when we're feasting in the presence of our enemies. You have spread a table before me in the presence of my enemies. How easy it is to take our eyes off the Lord and all the blessings He has poured out on us, He's blessed us with, and to take our eyes off the banqueting table and think about those enemies, whatever form it might take, whether it's people or nations or diseases. How easy it is to focus on anything but the feast that is before us. But David, as the shepherd king himself, always calls us back to the bigger picture, to looking at life from the Lord's perspective, that by God's grace and by God's leading and by God's bringing us into Himself, we're feasting. We're feasting at His table, and we're feasting in His presence. And yes, there are enemies, but we're only feasting in their presence. That's as close as they can get. I can remember as a child, we used to like to take trips in the car, just drive around wherever we could. My dad really liked doing that. We had a family of four and trying to save a few pennies from time to time. And there was a drive-in theater almost in downtown Wilmington, right on the edge of the town, city. And we were driving around at night, and there was a movie playing in the drive-in. And, of course, they had a wooden fence up so you could barely see. But we pulled over, and we were watching the movie from the outside of the drive-in theater. And I still remember the movie. It was Ben-Hur. And it was the scene with the two ships, the galleys, tossing fiery rocks at each other with their catapults. What a dramatic scene. We couldn't hear it, but we could see it. But we were on the outside looking in. We were late. We weren't going to pay the money to get in to see the movie. We were on the outside looking in. And so it is as we feast in the presence of our enemies. They are on the outside looking in. They look like a threat, but they're only a shadow, aren't they? They're only the valley of the shadow of death. As the Lord has called us, as the Lord has brought us to feast at His table in His presence, where they can't get at us. And all this is possible because He has laid down His life for His sheep. And He gives us this promise that He who spared not His own Son, but gave Him up for us out, oh, how will He not also along with Him freely give us all things? Well, still, we are sheep, aren't we? And as sheep, we're prone to wander. And that's why our all-wise shepherd closes with this wonderful word of assurance there in verse 6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Can you testify to that? Can you reflect on how the Lord's goodness and mercy has followed you and blessed you and brought you back to Him? It's interesting when you look at the original language in the Hebrew that the word for follow is actually a more proactive word. It's actually the word pursue. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. Just like the shepherd pursues the sheep. And it's interesting also that this is the only place in the Old Testament where this word pursue in the Hebrew is used in a good and positive sense about goodness and mercy. this word pursue is usually used in the sense of evil pursuing us. But here, David, inspired by the Spirit of God, uses this word to talk about how God's goodness and mercy pursues us. And that even suggests that even though when we don't want him to pursue us, even when we're going off the path and we know it and we prefer that, God in his mercy and grace pursues us and brings us back and convicts us and restores us to himself and renews us in our desire for him. That's why we want to listen to his voice. That's why we want to hear his voice. That's why we want to seek his face. And even though we get off the path again and again, we have this promise. Surely, goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. And here then are the closing words of assurance of this shepherd psalm. Surely, the Lord's goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And as a result, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Right now, as I live in the presence of the Lord. What, you know, overwhelming blessing for wandering, wayward, faithless sheep like us. Hopefully this is help with this question. Where is your God now? He's with us in the valley of the shadow of death. He spread a feast before us, even in the presence of our enemies. We're going through that valley of the shadow of death right now. We have all sorts of enemies that are attacking us in terms of viruses and all sorts of issues that are being raised and excited at this time. I invite you to think about this God, to look at this God, to reconsider life from his point of view, because he is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd who has laid down his life for the sheep. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your great plan to rescue us and to bring us into a relationship with you. And we pray, Lord God, that we would continue to seek you. We thank you for this question, where is your God now? Because it shows that someone is seeking you. And we pray that they might find you. Because you give us the promise, those who seek you will find you if they seek you with all of their hearts. Thank you for seeking us and for pursuing us and restoring us, rescuing us and restoring us. Forgive us when we resist you. Renew us in our love for you. Take possession of us, Lord Jesus, and lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. For we ask these things in your precious name. Amen. We want to sing together once again. What is the hymn we're singing? 95. Though troubles assail us, let's stand as we sing.
Though troubles assail us and danger doth bright, though friends should all fail us and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide, the promise assures us, the Lord will provide. The birds without barn or storehouse are fed. From them let us learn to trust God for our bread. His saints, what is fitting, shall ne'er be denied, so long as his written assails us to stop up our path, and courage all fails us.